This week, the Wisconsin Assembly passed a bill that would prohibit punitive damages for workplace discrimination lawsuits. The Senate has already passed a similar bill, and the legislation is now headed to Governor Walker's desk. Business groups are lauding this bill. Groups that advocate for women's rights and workers' rights are reeling. We will talk with a guest from the group 9 to 5 in this half hour who says the state legislature has just given unfair employers a get-out-of-jail-free card. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Thursday, February the 23rd. So what is your reaction to the repeal of what is called the Equal Pay Enforcement Act? It's a bill that's been on the books for a couple of years now to discourage employers from paying women less than men for equal work. And it allows people to sue for punitive damages if an employer is found guilty of doing so. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Dana Schultz, Wisconsin Director of 9 to 5, which is the National Association of Working Women. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So why do you call this a get-out-of-jail-free card for employers who discriminate?
Well, this law that was passed a couple years ago, the current law, before Walker hopefully doesn't sign it into law, but the current law, it allows for punitive damages only when an employer has already been found to have violated state law. So the law just puts teeth into enforcement only for proven violators. So, you know, some of the bill sponsors and the proponents say it's pro-business, but we don't think it's pro-business to protect companies who have a proven record to be violators of the state law.
Well, what consequences do you anticipate from this bill should Governor Walker sign it?
Well, here's the thing. Equal pay is a pretty basic concept in my mind. But unfortunately, you know, we have to back up and kind of paint a picture of what's going on in the workforce and what's going on for women in the workforce particularly. And in 2009, women hit the 50% mark. So women made up half of the workforce, which was a huge feat. This was women are working now more than ever. And women in Wisconsin are increasingly responsible for the economic security for their entire family and can't really afford to face discrimination or lower wages. So to break that down a little bit, women who are working full-time are paid about $33,600 a year. This is according to the a fact sheet that I have up on our website, 9to5.org. And men make about $44,800 a year. So this creates a wage gap of about $11,000 a year. So pay discrimination is a real issue. It's a serious problem in Wisconsin. And there are lots of reasons for it. It's not just latent discrimination. But that is something that happens. So, for example, one of our members worked at Walmart, and she was a part of the federal lawsuit. You might have heard of, you remember the federal lawsuit against Walmart?
Yes.
Yes. So she was a part of that, and you know, her claim was really interesting because she had worked at Walmart for years and years, and eventually did become a manager. But part of her claim was that, you know, men had been promoted to managerial positions long before her, even though she had been there longer, had better reports, et cetera. And when she went to her manager and said, you know, I'd really like to be promoted. I think I've earned it, the whole deal. And she said, why are you promoting this guy ahead of me? And the manager said to her at the time, you know what? He has to provide for his family. And she was just like, wow, don't you know that I have to as well? And it's like he really didn't think that the women in the workforce, you know, were providing and bringing home substantial economic security for their family. So there's some just blatant gender discrimination, but there are other reasons for the pay gap. Occupational segregation, you know, this idea that women make up 99% of secretaries, 97% of childcare workers, 96% of household servants, and restaurant workers. And a lot of these jobs are just undervalued and underpaid occupations that women, you know, frankly, have been doing for free for centuries. But, other reasons like lack of family flexibility. You know, too many women are penalized financially for caregiving because the lack of access to policies like paid sick days, family leave insurance. And then there's some just gender socialization. You know, there's about the statistic out there that says about 34% of all high school age girls in the U.S. report being advised by a faculty member, just don't take that math class. So we have kind of a lot of factors that play into a gender gap, but strong enforcement of our equal pay laws is one very important step to ending discrimination and closing the gap. And particularly, it's sending a message to these managers and business owners that are behind the times, that don't realize that women are in the workforce in a huge number, are part of our economy, and also are in charge of a lot of households and are a big part of the budget at home. So, enforcement of these laws are, they're only as good as the enforcement and the punishment that's carried through.
Well, apparently you can still, sue an employer who's discriminating and not giving women equal pay for equal work and get back pay should you win. Why isn't that good enough?
Well, first of all, there's so many cases that never even get to this point, that never even go to court. The burden of proof is always on the employee. It's always on the women trying to find paperwork that shows, this guy was promoted ahead or someone of the same position, same credentials are paid more. So it's already really tough to kind of get your hands on that evidence, even if you know it to be true. Especially if you want to keep that job and stay in the workforce, a lot of people get fired for taking too long of a break after they start poking the nose around wages. So I just want to kind of paint a picture of how hard it is to even get to court. And so once you're there, this is really about making sure that violators pay, and it sends a message to the industry that back pay, that's helpful. But usually for all the trouble and work and lawyering that an employee needs to even get to this point, some punitive damages are really necessary to kind of get that economic security that they're fighting for.
Let me have you react to what James Buchan, who is with Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, had to say about the assembly repealing the punitive damages under this Fair Employment Act. He said, at a time when Wisconsin is slowly coming out of a prolonged economic downturn, the last thing employers can afford are more incentives for plaintiffs' attorneys to sue businesses. We applaud the assembly for voting to repeal these costly damages.
Yeah, I think that you will always hear that from pro-business kind of lobbyist types. And I think there's a huge misunderstanding of what this bill does and how it would really affect employers. This, again, it only puts teeth into the law for businesses who are proven to have violated state laws. And the fact of the matter is, paying women fairly, paying women and people of color evenly, is just a basic right. It's extremely basic. So I don't think it's fair to say that businesses can't uphold that basic fairness. So it's frustrating that this bill kind of falls under the job creation bill when it absolutely creates no job, and in fact, pay equity reduces poverty and it strengthens the economy. If women, like I went back to those figures, if women were making, that wage gap was closed, instead of women falling into this abyss of like an $11,000 wage gap in Wisconsin, if that wage gap was closed, most of that money would go right back into the economy. It reduces stress-related health problems and healthcare costs that we see with women. And pay equity saves tax dollars. There's a Canadian study that showed that eliminating wage discrimination would result in an increase of personal income tax collected of $600 million annually. You know, instead of stealing money from the federal pots for foreclosed homes, we could just be paying women more equally, and then that money would be going right back into the economy and into, you know, helping to fix the budget. So, I mean, the claims that businesses and business lobbyist groups, that this is helpful to them is really, it's outrageous, because we're just asking businesses to do the right thing and pay women what they deserve.
And is it true, since this Equal Pay Enforcement Act has been on the books, that there, for a couple of years now, no lawsuits have been filed under it?
Yeah, exactly. There's not been a lawsuit that has gone to this level in all that time. So, you know, laws are written so that when people really do need them, they have that protection. There's very few laws that actually do protect workers if you're not in a union, right? So we need all the protections we can get, because we know a lot of stuff happens. I can tell you, 9to5 has a job survival hotline. And so, you know, you can call our office. It's in Milwaukee. It's 414-274-0925. You can call our office and we give you advice about, you know, if you were fired and you didn't know what to do, or you're sexually harassed at the workplace, or your employer is telling you this and you're not sure if you have to do it. We really studied the Wisconsin laws and to say, you know, this is really unfair. But unfortunately, we don't have any laws to protect you against it. We're constantly telling women that. Like, it's unfair, but it's not illegal. So the fact that there's no claims that have actually gone to the court on this is not surprising. But it's there to protect women and people of color and other folks that have been discriminated if they need it. You know, the law is there to back you up if you've been clearly wronged.
We are talking with Dana Schultz, Wisconsin director of 9to5, which is the National Association of Working Women. She is talking with us about action in the state assembly this week. The assembly passed a bill that would prohibit punitive damages to be awarded in workplace discrimination lawsuits, sometimes called the Equal Pay Enforcement Act. And we're wondering what you think about this, what questions you have. The Senate passed this as well, and now this legislation is headed to Governor Walker's desk. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It is going to be partly to mostly cloudy today. There is a chance of snow in the southern part of the state. Highs today mainly in the 30s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, February the 23rd. Coming up after 7 o'clock, I'll be talking with a political scientist about a new poll that shows Rick Santorum leading all other GOP presidential candidates in Wisconsin. It also looks at the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin and Governor Walker's favorability rating and recall-related issues. We'll take a pulse of Wisconsin politics coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we are talking with a guest from the group 9to5, who says that the state legislature has just given unfair employers a get-out-of-jail-free card by repealing the Equal Pay Enforcement Act, a bill that's been on the books for 2 years that allows people to sue for punitive damages if an employer is found guilty of doing so, of paying them less money or discriminating against them in some way. We welcome your questions and your thoughts, your views on this for Dana Schultz, Wisconsin director of 9to5, the National Association of Working Women. Our first caller is Frank in Milwaukee. Hello, Frank.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good, Frank. What's your thought or question?
I'm just kind of shocked that this is seen as pro-business when it's removing any punishment to a company that does wrong. If they're not paying a woman fairly and they're caught doing it, which is highly, you know, highly unlikely, they're caught doing it, proven in court that they're doing it, their punishment is to pay them a fair amount, and that's it. So, like, they're only doing what they should have done to start with. So I think it does. I can't see that as being pro-business. It's pretty shocking.
All right. And Dana, I assume you agree.
I'm glad you're shocked. I'm worried. I really am worried about so much kind of anti-worker, anti-women, anti-immigrant, anti-person kind of legislation coming out in our state assembly in the name of business, right? And it's all in the name of business. And I'm worried that it's numbing the Wisconsin people, that it's like so frustrating to open up, you know, to listen to Joy Cardine and to open up the newspaper, because it's kind of one attack after another. And if they're not busting a union, they're stealing Badger Care, they're shutting down our schools. So it's a part of a larger attack, obviously, but Frank, you're absolutely right. This is pretty basic, and it's really a law that just puts teeth into business, you know, enforcing this law around businesses that have proven to be guilty.
Yeah. Here's another argument from James Buchan from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. He says in this news release reacting to this bill passing, plaintiff attorneys can and already do file cases at the federal level seeking punitive and compensatory damages. Therefore, employees who feel they were unlawfully discriminated against will have sufficient recourse. So he's saying you can't do it in Wisconsin, but you can file a federal lawsuit.
Well, I don't know if any of you or your listeners have ever tried to file a federal lawsuit as just kind of a Joe Schmo average person. It is not easy. And in fact, it's, you know, a lot of women got together, and men, but mostly women got together around the Walmart case, a class action lawsuit, went to the federal case, and it's still not, I mean, it's such a process. It took so long, and those women ultimately didn't get their economic security and their punitive damages or any even back pay. So, you know, for someone like James Buchman, he might have the resources, being in a huge lobbyist firm in Wisconsin, he might have the resources to file a federal lawsuit, but I know our members sure as heck don't.
Our next caller is Susan in Jefferson. Hello, Susan.
Hi, I tuned in late. So it would seem to me, though, that if this law is signed by Walker, which I suppose is inevitable, that the federal law still prevents discrimination. So the federal law and the state law can't, and, you know, the state law has to be in compliance with the federal law. So can you refer, you know, explain why this isn't going to be unconstitutional?
Well, again, you know, there's laws that make things illegal. So it's unconstitutional to discriminate, right? But what does that look like for someone who's being faced with that at their work right now? What's happening when, you know, the cook is being paid more because he's a man in the back? Well, what do you do about it? You might have a law, you might know it's illegal, but if you can't access justice, there's no avenue to kind of get that economic security, get that back pay, get what you need for your family, then the law might as well not exist, you know, in terms of this is a law that's putting teeth into enforcement. That's like giving clearer, easier avenues for women that know they're being discriminated. So going to the local circuit court is much easier, like we said before, than filing a federal lawsuit. So this is all about kind of the avenue to justice. Like, how do we actually get that kind of justice, not just abstractly, is it right or wrong?
Is there something to this that if a woman who was paid less money for equal work files a lawsuit or wants to file a lawsuit, typically she'd have to get an attorney, and an attorney may not take a case if it's just a matter of getting back pay for a year?
And that, I mean, absolutely. Yeah. That's a big issue. We have a lot of cases. Again, people call in our office that really do need an attorney to kind of take their case to another level. We identify that this was clearly a legal violation of the law, but the next step is to get an attorney. Sometimes you get lucky and you can, you know, find a pro bono attorney, but that's not really the norm.
Yeah. Tom in Racine County is with us. Hello, Tom.
One of the problems with the wage gap that I understand is that women are too, they don't assert themselves when it comes to asking for raises and when times comes for raises. But now getting to this other point, that what they're doing is they're taking the guts out of this bill. What if you can't go and give these corporations punitive damages, you can't hold anything over their head. And if this is the most anti-woman thing that's ever come along, and for them to say that it's pro-business and it's going to be good for you is just not true.
Well, I don't think you'll argue with him on that one either, Dana.
No, and I know that we have a lot of people that are, once they know about this information, they're really upset. And they everyone's got a mother who works, a daughter, a wife, and they understand that women are a big part of not only the household budget, but the larger economy in Wisconsin. So this is really a big hit to a larger economy and women, you know, putting money, income back into the economy. And I think you're right. We got to, you know, part of the gender gap is that gender socialization again, that women should be encouraged to negotiate higher, ask for more wages, say they're worth it, at, you know, worth a raise and being paid more. So that is part of our work, empowering women to ask for that raise.
We have less than a minute to go. Do you have any hope that Governor Walker will not sign this bill?
Hey, you know, I haven't given up completely. I mean, I think we should call his office and let him know that, you know, the women and men of Wisconsin think that this is a pretty basic standard to not let businesses off the hook that have been proven violators of the state law.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Dana Schultz, Wisconsin Director of 9 to 5, which is the National Association of Working Women. Thanks to Amanda Magnus and to Bill Martins and to Rob Ferret for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.